The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of KLAY or those who advertise their products or services on this station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Boat Talk here on 1180 AM Clay Radio. I'm your host, Captain Trigg, and I'm glad to have everybody listening to me today. We're jumping the gun on the music a little bit because we got a lot to talk about. So just want to dive right into it. Just to remind everybody, my email is trigg@seattleyachtmanagement.com. That's trigg@seattleyachtmanagement.com. So anyway, you can get in touch with me. I'm always happy to hear from any of my listeners or anybody who's interested in anything I have to say, or maybe not interested in what I have to say. If you want to give me a little bit of feedback, I'm always glad to hear it regardless. So let me know what you're thinking, and we'll go from there. We got the Seattle Boat Show coming up. I'm really excited about this. I have not been sleeping lately because I'm so excited about the boat show that's coming up here. One of the reasons I'm excited is because we're going to have a booth in the boat show this year for the first time for our yacht charter company, but we'll get to that in a second. The Seattle Boat Show, again, coming up, and the dates on that are January 25th through February 3rd of 2013. If you're interested in tickets, you can go right online. There's some multi-day pass deals that they have on their website, which is seattleboatshow.com. Real easy, seattleboatshow.com. You can also find it by searching for the 2013 Seattle Boat Show, but it's going to direct you back to seattleboatshow.com. I always like to mention at this point, if you are a boater 50 years of age or younger, you need to have your boater's education card this year. So you might as well hop on their website. There's a small link in the upper left-hand corner, or a little picture of a looks like a driver's license, and it'll say get your license now. And you just click that link, and it'll take you right over to the Washington Parks website, and that'll redirect you through to all the channels you need as far as courses that need to be taken, which are all online, real simple courses to take. And then you can take the testing right online and then apply with your completed past test to Washington State Parks, and they'll issue your license for you. So that'll come in handy for a couple reasons. One, huge safety issues. The safety is a big thing in boating in general, and it has been shown that since they've instituted this boater safety education card, there's been a lot less accidents on the water. So it's a big deal. It's worth doing. It's worth spending the few dollars on getting licensed. Because it's going to make you a safer boater. And the other reason to do it is because you don't want to get hassled when you're out there trying to have a good time. If the water patrol pulls you over and you don't have it and you're under the age of 50 this year, they're going to, and I think that includes 50 this year, I should clarify that, they're going to hassle you a little bit, and deservedly so, because here you are listening to Captain Trigg on 1180 AM and you're not paying any attention to what I'm saying. So anyway, get it done. Take care of that. Also, while you're on the Seattle Boat Show website, take a look at the seminars section. There's a real, it says seminars right on the top of the, bar. Look at the seminars listed there and see if there's anything while you're at the show this year that you really think you might be interested in or that you might benefit from. This is going to mostly be for those boaters who maybe have some cruising in mind for the future, or who have been out the last few years and maybe see something and go, oh shoot, that's something that we could definitely work on. Utilize that service to a max. When you pay for the price of admission, a lot of these seminars are free. You just have to show up. So make sure that you get that kind of on your schedule. I know it's tough sometimes to take the time out of your day or line it up, but it's well worth it. There are a lot of people that you can get free advice from during the boat show, and you got to utilize that because there's plenty of time to spend money down the road. You need to get that free advice while you can. So while you're checking out their website, make sure you take a look at the seminars, what dates they're listed, what times. Again, you can buy tickets right online, or you can wait and buy them at the door. I'm not sure. The multi-day passes, you may have to buy in advance online, but I'm not 100% sure of that. So anyway, moving on, we got the rename challenge. Now, we tried on a handful. We only got a handful of submissions on this. We tried on all the different catchphrases that we had submitted to us, and you know, back and forth, and try to say them in a sentence and see how they flowed and see how they felt, and was it something that was easy to remember, catchy, etc. And we couldn't come up with anything we really liked that we thought would stick. So we're going to continue this search. Just keep your creative juices flowing there, because I want somebody to come up with a great catchphrase for our off season. Remember, we're looking for something that has a connotation, a positive connotation to it, for boating all year round, even during our supposed off season. I don't want people to think that and relate off season to just putting their boats away and walking away from them, because that's really about the worst thing you can do for your, not only yourself, but the boat. So anyways, what we are going to do is we're going to provide boat show tickets to everybody who submitted a phrase, because I said I was going to give tickets to the winners, and because there were no winners, everybody wins. So anyway, so we're doing that. Again, we'll reannounce that as we get a little bit closer to the time that we're really going to start taking submissions. If you have something, feel free to send it in, trig@seattleyachtmanagement.com, and I'll keep it in store for the next go around. But we're going to let that one ride a little bit and let people kind of come up with some ideas in their head before we get going on it again. In the news, we've got the end of the dredging on the Swinomish Channel up there near Laconer. I mentioned this, I don't know, probably 3 months ago, maybe it wasn't that long ago, that they were going to be dredging the Swinomish Channel. It's silting in quite badly, or has been. It always does. That's just kind of part of it. It's real shallow through there. It's a slow speed zone. And for anybody who's been through there, that south end at the turn really, really gets shallow. And you got to watch it. And they take some big boats in and out of there. And so they did a dredging project recently. And they're supposed to be finishing up this weekend, according to the article I read. So hopefully the next time you go up that direction, you won't be face-to-face with a big dredge sitting in your way. They took out over 220,000 cubic yards of sand and silt. So that kind of gives you an idea of how much it silts up. And it wasn't that long ago that they did it. So anyways, you can see more about that article on the 3sheetsnw.com website. That's where I pulled that information from. Next thing I want to mention is off of Boaters Resource Center's website. That's boatersresourcecenter.com. They're one of our sponsors, and really like the information that comes off that site. There's a photo of a giant squid. And it's reported to be the first ever photo captured of a live giant squid in its natural habitat. Now, that's what the article says. I can't confirm that. I mean, I guess I don't watch all the nature channels, but I've not seen it. Discovery, if you're interested in that, Discovery will be airing on their channel January 27th, the footage of the squid, as part of their show, Monster Squid, The Giant is Real. So if you're interested in kind of what's living underneath of us, you might want to tune into that. But that's January 27th. I'm sure you check your local listings for times and whatever your channel is for Discovery. Safety-wise, wanted to talk about power leakage in the marinas. I've touched on this in the past, and it isn't something it's something I think most people don't take real seriously, and you need to, because there have been multiple incidences where kids have been swimming in a marina, or somebody's reached down into the water in a marina to pick something out of the water, and they just keep on trucking. And they don't ever try to get out of the water because they're pretty much dead instantaneously. And it all has to do with electricity seeping out of either the marina wiring or possibly faulty wiring in a boat. So now's a great time. Well, it's still cold. We're still using our boats. People come down and go back and forth to test the water in your marina to see if it's hot. And by hot, I mean electrically charged. So check things out. Check the marina first. Make sure everybody's shut off generator-wise. You've got all the shore power cords out of the water. If you have no reading in the water, then you can start generators up and then shut them off one by one. And I guess if you have an electrical charge in the water after everybody's running their genset, then you want to shut them off one by one. As soon as that meter drops off, you'll be able to tell who was the last guy who shut his genset off. That'll be your guy every time. If the meter doesn't shut off, then you'll need to obviously cycle through whoever the last person is to shut it off before the meter drops. Usually that's your problem. If somebody thinks they have a problem, have them start their gen set up by themselves and see if that causes a problem. Again, that article is on the 3sheetsnw.com website. So if you're interested in finding out more about that and reading that article, please hop on their website, 3sheetsnw.com, and read through that. So anyway, we're right on schedule for a break. I love it when that works out. Anyways, we're going to take a quick break, do a couple minutes of business, and come back for more Boat Talk here on 1180 AM Clay Radio.
Is there a birthday or anniversary in your future? Here's an idea. A luxury yacht cruise. What's more inviting than being on a private yacht in an intimate setting with your friends and family? Imagine cruising Alaska, Puget Sound, the Gulf Islands, whales, glaciers, fishing and bears, hiking and exploring breathtaking sights. It's all yours on Viaggio Charters Luxury Vacation Cruises. Oh, and the food? Gourmet foods prepared by private chefs. Experience luxury with Viaggio Charters. See them at viaggiocharter.com.
Honey, grab a jacket and a camera because we're going on a guided sightseeing tour with Captain Tom at Destiny Harbor Tours.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Destiny Harbor Tours offers cruises for parties of four or more from Gig Harbor or Tacoma. We'll see lots of sea life up close. We'll learn about local history and the ecology of Puget Sound. You know, Captain Tom has restored Navy boats are licensed by the U.S. Coast Guard. We're going on a real adventure.
I've got my jacket and camera, and I'm ready.
Find out more at DestinyHarborTours.com.
Your boat will always be ready to hit the water when you visit Dunbar Marine, where Roy Dunbar has specialized in classic wood boat repair and restoration for 52 years. Dunbar Marine does it all, from minor maintenance to complete restoration. And Roy encourages you to work right alongside him during repairs. Get to know Roy, and you'll get to know your boat up close. Find out more at DunbarMarine.com. You can even see some of Dunbar Marine's restoration work at DunbarMarine.com.
Skippers, are you looking for something marine-related? Chances are good you'll find it at BoatersResourceCenter.com, a one-stop interactive website featuring products, services, and information frequently used by Pacific Northwest boaters. Destinations, live Doppler, free NOAA charts, and much more are just a click away. Need a good story to curl up with? BoatersResourceCenter.com offers articles by well-known authors and showcases over 240 marine companies. BoatersResourceCenter.com, a portal to Pacific Northwest cruising. Watch us grow.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Boat Talk with Captain Trigg. I'm your host, Captain Trigg. Very excited to have everybody with me this afternoon because we're talking more about boats. Seems like that's the common sense thing to do here, isn't it? All right. Well, we're going to talk about a little bit about our charter company, Viaggio Charter. One of the reasons I want to do that is because we've got the boat show coming up. And if you're not in the market to buy, you might be in the market to charter. And because we're going to be at the boat show this year, I want you to stop by my booth if you're interested. And I want you to stop by regardless of whether you're interested in chartering or not. I want you to stop by if you're a listener and you just want to meet me or my wife. I talk nicely about her most of the time, so I'm sure most of you think she's a pretty good gal. But I want you to stop by the booth. We'll talk shop, we'll talk cruising, we'll talk boats, whatever you want to talk about, we'll talk about it, and hopefully you'll get a little bit more information on us and on chartering in general. So anyway, stop on by. Our booth is going to be out in the East Hall, booth number 1900. We're right on the corner, right near the Sleep Country booth there. So, you know, if I bore you too much, I guess it won't be too far a walk to get over and take a little snooze so you can come back for more. So anyway, I also want to remind you that our ad is in Cruise Travel Magazine on this in this 2-month edition that they've got out on page 33. And the January-February issue is the annual directory issue. So if you were thinking about getting an issue, this would be the one I would highly recommend, because you're going to be able to utilize it throughout the entire year for contact information on any of the cruise lines. So might want to think about stopping by your local magazine sales location, or hop online to cruisetravelmag.com. Check them out. So, and hopefully our ad. So stop on by at the boat show and chat us up a little bit. Like I said, I'm really eager to meet as many people as I can and spread some information. If it's something you're interested in knowing, I'm interested in sharing it. So, next thing I want to talk about, and this is, it's kind of a little, I'm reflecting back on some of the things we talked about last week, and I'd mentioned some good referrals and talking to friends and family, etc. And I want to make a little bit of a point when it comes to fads or trends. And I'm not a big believer in the whole lemming theory of, hey, this guy's doing it, so, and I like him and I like what he usually does, so I'm just going to go that direction. That's okay sometimes, but I don't live by that, and I don't like it when I see other people living that way, only because I've seen a lot of people lose lots of money or spend extra money that they didn't have to because of that reason. And so regardless of what your friends and family or whoever it is that's your kind of trusted person says, I always like people to get other opinions, because I may say one thing and your friend may say another thing, and the guy down the road will say maybe even a third thing, or he might agree more with your friend or with me. And so if you get a multitude of opinions, you're able to take all that input, form kind of an outline from that information, and then make an educated decision based on the information you got. It may be that your friend tells you exactly what you thought you were going to hear, and then six more people after that tell you the exact same thing. That's fine. I just don't like it when I see people taking one person's word as the gospel truth, and it ended up costing them money down the road. And maybe your friend has the money to spend, maybe your family members have the money to spend, but you don't have it or you don't want to spend it. It doesn't make any sense to spend extra money if you don't have to, right? So, again, we want to save our pennies where we can, where it makes sense to do it, and spend them in areas that we need to spend them. I see a lot of people waste money to do something. It didn't benefit them in any way, and all of a sudden they've spent this money and now they can't afford to maintain the boat. Prime example, I've got, I just recently spoke to somebody who was thinking of spending a large sum of money for some advertising that I didn't think was going to be really that great for his situation. And I told him so. And I pride myself on telling people kind of what I think about things, because they may think the same way and just be too afraid to say it, or they may be counting on what I have to say. And so I have to give them the honest truth the first time around, not just kind of, you know, beat around the bush about it. I don't want people to waste money because of what I say. And so when I tell somebody what I think, it's usually based on the information I have. You want to save money, you know, whatever it is. I know for a fact that this gentleman is trying to save money wherever he can and yet still accomplish the marketing side of things. But do we have to spend that much money in that direction marketing-wise? And what about then spending the money to maintain what it is that you're trying to market, as opposed so that when people get to it, they have something good to look at, as opposed to, oh yeah, we're going to sell the heck out of this thing by spending lots of extra money marketing-wise, but when they come and look at it, it's not going to look anything like the pictures, right? Well, that's the first thing I do as a buyer. Doesn't matter what I'm buying. If it doesn't look like the pictures, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to run for the hills, because either those pictures, they're a misrepresentation one way or the other. They were either doctored or they were taken a long time ago, and you're trying to pawn them off as what the boat is now, or what the item is, I should say, boat or otherwise. So just make sure that whatever money you spend and however you direct your efforts to maintain your boat, just make sure that the input that you're getting from the outsiders is good, well thought through information, as opposed to, oh, well, Bob said to do it this way and I like Bob, so I want to do it that way. You can lose a lot of money that way. I've seen it happen. I don't like to see it happen. I hope that I don't ever have to ever see it happen again. Guess what? Gonna be disappointed, but that's all right. All righty. So quick recap of last week's discussions. We're going to do a continuation kind of that discussion this week. Last week, we talked about getting out and looking at other boats while they're on the water or on a trailer before you purchase. Know what you're buying. Walk around other marinas, or maybe just do a little bit of quick surveying through yachtworld.com or some other websites, as well as get out on the lots and really put your hands on what you're looking at, because something can look large or small in person versus what it looked like in the pictures. And you don't want to be surprised when you get there and go, oh, shoot, this really isn't what I wanted at all, but that was what you had planned for. So make sure that you're really getting hands-on with this stuff before it's time to pull the trigger on a big purchase decision. Get good referrals. Talked about this last week. Make sure you're working with quality professionals instead of whoever's convenient or whoever's referred to you first one out of the gate. Again, make sure that you're not getting just cruddy referrals from people who don't have your best interest at heart, and make sure that you're getting several opinions on that person as opposed to just a shot in the dark type deal. So most people that are good service persons to have, or salespeople, or whatever you're looking for, they will be able to provide references for you, and you can check those references. They should be happy to do that for you. So make sure you think about all your choices from every aspect that you can possibly think of. That's really important, and it's going to continue to be important as we talk through the rest of this. So let's see here. I was going to jump in there, and we're going to have to do it. We're doing it. All right, we're going with the fiberglass versus wood discussion. We're going to do it right before the break here, and that means we're going to have to pick it back up. But anyways, so fiberglass versus wood boats. This is just, you got guys on either side of the fence. You got some of us standing on either side of the fence, just kind of trying to hold the other groups back from each other, because there are fiberglass boat believers, and they'll tell you that no matter what day of the week, fiberglass is better. It's cheaper to maintain. There's nothing that can go wrong. Fiberglass boats don't rot. And then you've got guys on the other side of the fence. Well, wood is what God intended boats to be made out of. And, really, if you want to be a true boater, well, you'll probably be a sailboater if you want to be a true boater. But, you got to have a wood boat, and they've got classic lines, and, they're not that hard to maintain, and on and on and on. So you've got these guys that are on either side of the fence. Now, how do you take that, all that back and forth, and turn that into good, useful information? You listen to Captain Trig on Boat Talk. That's what you do. No. We are going to talk about what the advantages and disadvantages are of each. And because I'm limited on time, we're going to zoom right through. But the point being, you really have to look at this from either side of the fence, as opposed to just saying, wrong. And where you're really going to, the people that are really going to have to pay attention to this are the people that want to get into boating and either like wood or have maybe a limited budget. And so they were scared of wood, but maybe we can talk them down. You know, maybe we want, maybe they can see the other side of the coin on this one. So let's start with the purchase aspect of wood versus fiberglass. For starters, financing is going to be much, much more difficult on a wood boat than a fiberglass boat. Again, the perception that a lot of those fiberglass boat owners and fiberglass boat lovers find themselves having, it's crossed over into the banking industry as well. And unfortunately, it's an uninformed decision, really, because there's still lots of wood boats out there, but you can't get the funding on them is the frustrating part. So if you've got a wood boat, purchasing it, if you have to get a loan, is going to be much more difficult. So if you're going to have to maybe get creative, you're going to have to take it out an equity loan, or you're going to have to pay cash. And for some people, that's not a big deal at all. You're just going to be able to whip out your checkbook and say, here it is. And that's going to be one of the bonuses to a wood boat, is that you're going to find wood boats less expensively than you are fiberglass boats. So, and again, it's based on perception. It's all a perception thing. So anyways, as the music dictates, we've got to go and get a quick break done. And then we're going to come back and continue this discussion, which again, it's lifelong, it's age old. This is an argument that probably is going to outlive everybody listening and me as well. So anyways, we'll be back for more of that on the other side of a couple minutes of business here on 1180 AM Clay Radio.
Is there a birthday or anniversary in your future? Here's an idea. A luxury yacht cruise. What's more inviting than being on a private yacht in an intimate setting with your friends and family? Imagine cruising Alaska, Puget Sound, the Gulf Islands, whales, glaciers, fishing and bears, hiking and exploring breathtaking sights. It's all yours on Viaggio Charters Luxury Vacation Cruises. Oh, and the food? Gourmet foods prepared by private chefs. Experience luxury with Viaggio Charters. See them at ViaggioCharter.com.
Honey, grab a jacket and a camera because we're going on a guided sightseeing tour with Captain Tom at Destiny Harbor Tours.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Destiny Harbor Tours offers cruises for parties of four or more from Gig Harbor or Tacoma. We'll see lots of sea life up close. We'll learn about local history and the ecology of Puget Sound. You know, Captain Tom has restored Navy boats are licensed by the U.S. Coast Guard. We're going on a real adventure.
I've got my jacket and camera, and I'm ready.
Find out more at DestinyHarborTours.com.
Your boat will always be ready to hit the water when you visit Dunbar Marine, where Roy Dunbar has specialized in classic wood boat repair and restoration for 52 years. Dunbar Marine does it all, from minor maintenance to complete restoration, and Roy encourages you to work right alongside him during repairs. Get to know Roy, and you'll get to know your boat up close. Find out more at DunbarMarine.com. You can even see some of Dunbar Marine's restoration work at DunbarMarine.com.
Skippers, are you looking for something marine-related? Chances are good you'll find it at BoatersResourceCenter.com, a one-stop interactive website featuring products, services, and information frequently used by Pacific Northwest boaters. Destinations, live Doppler, free NOAA charts, and much more are just a click away. Need a good story to curl up with? BoatersResourceCenter.com offers articles by well-known authors and showcases over 240 marine companies. BoatersResourceCenter.com, a portal to Pacific Northwest cruising, watches grow.
Welcome back for more Boat Talk here on 1180 AM Clay Radio. I'm your host, Captain Trigg. I want to re-invite everybody to join me, to email me at trigg@seattleyachtmanagement.com and let me know if you got questions, concerns. We got the boat show coming up, of course, as we're talking about here. And I want people to go into the boat show with as much knowledge as they can, especially if you're going with the intent to make a purchase, which I think a lot of people do. Obviously, a lot of us go just because we want to daydream about things we can't have and spend time toddling around. And it's a pretty inexpensive way to spend a day or an afternoon that can be pretty entertaining. So I'm happy to see everybody down there. Again, we're going to be out in the East Hall, booth number 1900. And we're happy to talk to anybody. Again, we're going to be there representing our charter company, which is Viaggio Charter. So that'll be what's on the sign. But if you're a listener and you think that you recognize my voice from the radio, slow up and introduce yourself. I'm always happy to meet people that are listening and answer any questions. So anyway, all right, back into the wood versus fiberglass debate. And it's funny because I'm not really debating anybody except for myself here, and that's a little different than you're used to. It's usually one guy arguing one direction and the other guy arguing the other way. And I try to look at both sides. I can argue both sides any day of the week, and that's basically what I'm doing here. I'm doing the arguing back and forth for you so that hopefully you kind of see what the advantages and disadvantages of both are. So we were talking about the actual purchase of the boat. Again, a wood boat's generally going to save you thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, because just by the virtue of it being less sought after, more difficult to get. Okay, it's gonna take somebody with either a big cash chunk down or an all cash purchase. So the other option there that I'm seeing a lot of boaters, people that have wood boats for sale right now is seller financing, and that's a big deal. And it depends on, you know, most people can't afford at this point to loan money as inexpensively as the bank can. But at the same time, there's a hold cost involved with not selling that boat. If they're trying to move on because they've got different hobbies or maybe a larger boat, it's costing them mortgage every month. It's costing them maintenance every month. And so for them, they're looking at that and going, okay, yeah, it's going to cost me a little bit to finance this guy, but I'd rather him make the payments or make the maintenance fees as opposed to me make the maintenance fees and still not have the boat sold. So there's definitely some negotiation room there. So that's something to keep in mind. Again, wood boat owners are a little more apt to do it, it seems like, than fiberglass boat owners at this point, or I should say sellers at this point. But anyways, something to think about. So, you know, those are big things to take into account. Another one that I think most people overlook with wood boats is you need to double check with your insurance company. Whoever you're planning, if you don't have a current agent, check with anyone. The boat show is a great place to do that because there's usually a handful of insurance brokers or agents standing around the boat show. And guess what? They're not that interesting. So they're always looking for somebody to talk to them, right? So stop in there and chat one of those guys up and just say, hey, I'm looking at a wood boat. You know, what are the pitfalls I need to stay away from? Is it something your company offers, et cetera? Ask those good questions. One thing I'm going to tell you right now that's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, to get insured is a fiberglass over wood boat, okay? And now this is kind of a wolf in sheep's clothing situation, because you can look at a boat and go, oh yeah, that's fiberglass. Well, if you're not aware that it's fiberglass over wood before you purchase and then you try to get insurance, you are going to be shocked. Shocked, like fall over shocked, because fiberglass is pretty flammable once it gets up to a certain heat. Wood has a lower flash point. When we mate those two together, that's a fire waiting to happen. And so the insurance companies have kind of gotten wise to that and gone, well, since 90% of the ones we insured burnt up, we're going to say no more of that. So be aware that little pitfall is out there, and it's going to be an expensive one if you get stuck in it. And so unless – and there are very few fiberglass over wood boats left around that I'm aware of anyway. You don't see it happen real often, but I have talked to a couple of insurance agents, and they really are – they're leery of those pretty badly. Their underwriters just won't cover them. So anyways, make sure you're aware of that. But double-check the insurance before you get too attached to one thing over the other. If you have something in mind specifically that you're looking at, the more information you can give them, the better. They're going to have kind of a history on the boat that way. They're also going to be able to kind of look back and say, oh yeah, these boats are typically pretty safe. So we're pretty good, pretty reasonable on insurance rates there. So let's talk about the big, kind of the big mama here as far as what people are afraid of when it comes to wood boats, and that's maintenance. We know that we can buy the boat less expensively than a fiberglass comparable boat, right? So maintenance, that's always the big hang-up for people. It's a huge hang-up. And here's where I go from being in the middle of the road to really defending wood boats. And it's because people are so anti-wood on this point, I kind of shift gears and go, well, I'm going to tell you why what you're saying is incorrect. And the overall reason for that is because all boats, or I'm going to say 99% of the boats, especially here in the Pacific Northwest, are not being cared for up to the level that they need to be cared for in order to keep them in Bristol condition. Okay. If we take two boats side by side, one wood, one fiberglass, and keep them in absolutely superb condition, the difference in expenses for maintenance is going to be virtually nothing. And I've got proof of that. And I told you last week that I would have proof of this, and here it is. So talking to my good buddy, Roy Dunbar, Dunbar Marine, one of our sponsors, and I'm not saying this because he's a sponsor. I'm saying it because, well, and he's got no skin in the game either. He had two clients, brothers. They bought identical boats from the same company. One was the year that the last year of wood construction. One was the first year of fiberglass construction. He maintained both boats for the brothers, and he said it was real easy because every time one brother would get something done, the other one would call and say, yeah, I like what he did over here. Let's do that. They kept them in perfect condition all the time. Roy did all the maintenance, and this is several years ago. He said that there wasn't $10 difference in the total invoices between the wood and the fiberglass. Why is that? Now, that's our overriding reason for saying, you can't attack wood boats for this maintenance issue. Now, let's dissect that and figure out why it is that everybody thinks that wood boats are more expensive, yet we have proof, we have evidence showing that they're virtually a wash. So when you've got a wood boat, what's the first thing that pops to your mind? Varnish. Everybody says varnish. Now, most fiberglass boats have a little bit of varnish on them. It's pretty tough. They're coming out with more of them now, but it's been really tough, especially if you buy a foreign-built boat. Most of them have a fair bit of woodwork on them. Inside, handrails, whatever it is, because that's what the foreign builders are usually really good at, is the woodworking aspect of it. And so they add wherever they can those wood touches. And let's face facts, that wood looks very nautical, it's classy, it's great. But generally speaking, people think of varnish work when they start talking about wood. Can't ever keep enough varnish on them. Well, if you go and you, as I've discussed in the past, if you every year you do your sanding and your three coats of varnish, and you keep that hard candy shell that's just absolutely glistening and looks like glass over the top of your handrails, doesn't take much time, aka money if you're hiring the work done. Doesn't take much effort, aka money if you're hiring the work done. It's just something that becomes annual maintenance. Translate that into waxing your fiberglass boat. Here it should be done at least twice a year. You know, wax, whether that's actual wax or whether it's a polymer base for your painted boats, painted fiberglass. Now, that is going to take, the painted boats are actually going to take a little bit more because that's not a machine applied treatment. That's all hand applied. So what two guys with machine buffers can do in a day or two will take two guys by hand 3 or 4 days to do. So there's more labor involved in those painted fiberglass than even, say, maybe your varnished woodwork on the wood boat. So keep that stuff in mind because it's, you know, you're looking at apples and oranges here, but if it's the same amount of food, which one doesn't matter if you eat either one, right? So just be aware that wood boat maintenance is not as bad. Generally speaking, I also find wood boat repair to be a little bit easier to deal with because instead of having an expensive paint job or gel coat job repair over the top of a damaged area, you can easily blend with well-kept paint. And remember, a well-maintained boat, you can easily blend a paint patch right back into the existing paint color or, again, go back to varnishing, do your varnish work, and blend that back in. Okay, it's going to take a little while on the woodwork for the colors of the wood to match. If you knock a section of handrail out, you're going to put one piece in, and it's going to look yellow compared to the redder color and it's actually going to go opposite of that. The sun's going to bleach out the woodwork underneath the varnish. So, anyways, we'll come back with the bottom line on that because. Again, we're running right up against the break, so it's a packed day here. So join me in a couple minutes on the other side of some business here at 1180 AM Clay Radio.
Is there a birthday or anniversary in your future? Here's an idea. A luxury yacht cruise. What's more inviting than being on a private yacht in an intimate setting with your friends and family? Imagine cruising Alaska, Puget Sound, the Gulf Islands, whales, glaciers, fishing and bears, hiking and exploring breathtaking sights. It's all yours on Viaggio Charters Luxury Vacation Cruises. Oh, and the food? Gourmet foods prepared by private chefs. Experience luxury with Viaggio Charters. See them at ViaggioCharter.com.
Honey, grab a jacket and a camera because we're going on a guided sightseeing tour with Captain Tom at Destiny Harbor Tours.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Destiny Harbor Tours offers cruises for parties of four or more from Gig Harbor or Tacoma. We'll see lots of sea life up close. We'll learn about local history and the ecology of Puget Sound. You know, Captain Tom has restored Navy boats are licensed by the U.S. Coast Guard. We're going on a real adventure.
I've got my jacket and camera, and I'm ready.
Find out more at DestinyHarborTours.com.
Your boat will always be ready to hit the water when you visit Dunbar Marine, where Roy Dunbar has specialized in classic wood boat repair and restoration for 52 years. Dunbar Marine does it all, from minor maintenance to complete restoration. And Roy encourages you to work right alongside him during repairs. Get to know Roy, and you'll get to know your boat up close. Find out more at DunbarMarine.com. You can even see some of Dunbar Marine's restoration work at DunbarMarine.com.
Skippers, are you looking for something marine-related? Chances are good you'll find it at BoatersResourceCenter.com, a one-stop interactive website featuring products, services, and information frequently used by Pacific Northwest boaters. Destinations, live Doppler, free NOAA charts, and much more are just a click away. Need a good story to curl up with? BoatersResourceCenter.com offers articles by well-known authors and showcases over 240 marine companies. BoatersResourceCenter.com, a portal to Pacific Northwest cruising. Watch us grow.
Here we are, back on 1180 AM Clay Radio for your last little bit of boat talk for this Saturday afternoon. It's a beautiful Saturday. I'm excited to be here in the studio talking to you guys live. I'd be more excited to be out on the water having a good time on one of your boats, but that's life, right? So anyways, we were finishing up our discussion about the wood versus fiberglass argument. I want to remind everybody to send their emails to trig@seattleyachtmanagement.com. If you've got disagreements with me, not entirely unusual for me, I'll tell you that right now, but I'm happy to hear whatever you have to say on this topic or any other. If you're looking for ideas for me to talk about on the radio, and you come across something and want to get it off to me, send it to me. Trig@SeattleYachtManagement.com. I'll get it on the air for you as soon as I can. So anyways, alrighty. So the bottom line on this wood versus fiberglass situation is that, in my opinion, my humble opinion, is that you are going to have the same maintenance costs if you keep your boat in good condition. Great condition. And I think that's the way that we all intend to keep our boats, is in great condition. I think you're going to have the same general expenses, obviously not on the same line item, but overall expenses for maintenance are going to be the same fiberglass versus wood on comparable boats. Okay, the initial quote-unquote investment is going to be significantly lower, probably, on a wood boat of the same caliber as a fiberglass boat. You may have an older boat, but I'm talking size and accommodations, etc. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, so make sure that when you go into this, you don't have that blinder up of don't even look at wood boats. Okay, if there's wood boats out there that fit the specs that you're looking for, I highly recommend that you take a second look at them and really give them a good once over. A lot of times, wood boats that are well kept are in better condition than fiberglass boats, even if they're newer, because people think that they can get away without giving them any love or attention. I've talked almost every week that I've been on this show for almost a year about how boats need use and constant maintenance. And if you've neglected a fiberglass boat, it can really go into some nasty disrepair, and it can be expensive to rehab that, even if it's a much newer boat than a wood boat. So a lot of 100-year-old wood boats floating around out there, and there's a lot of 30-year-old fiberglass boats that look like trash. So take that into account when you're out there shopping around, and don't write off those wood boats just yet, all right? We're going to finish the show up here on something that's a little touchy, and I just assume it's touchier than what I've been talking about. Some people probably are over there, you know, out listening, pulling their hair out as they're driving down the highway listening to this, or on their phones to their wives yelling about how Trig's an idiot, but this is touchy, in my opinion, because it's kind of private, and I'm talking about financing and money, okay? Because this is one of the key components. When you go to the boat show, it's on the back of everybody's mind. I suppose there's some people that are wandering around. They go, yeah, I got an unlimited budget. I've got a huge allowance to deal with here, and I'm loving every minute. I think that most of us aren't that person, and so I'm going to say it's a touchy situation. Obviously, you need to consult your personal financial advisor before you proceed and make any large purchase on any item. And boats are no different than a house or a car or any of that to me. In fact, it's probably even more important, because you've got this profile kind of painted out with whoever your financial advisor is, or, you know, your spouse, or whoever it is that you've come to this kind of agreement with of, here's what our outlook is for the next 10 years, 20, 30, retirement, etc. Okay, so make sure that you talk this through and figure out what it is that you have to spend, or how far into debt you can go when you're looking at a boat. And right now, I would say that most people are going to say, play it pretty tight to the vest. We don't want you out there getting crazy with anything. So figure out what you have to spend. You have to know before you go out to buy, whether that's financing or you just writing a check out of your retirement account, or kind of your slush fund, your weekend, your play money, whatever it is. So you need to know that so that you can look at the price of the boat. Now, I'm going to throw this in there. If you are going out to purchase a boat, and especially if you're financing, think about the upcoming maintenance expenses. Again, something that I wouldn't consider maintenance is mortgage. If you're going to need mortgage or some sort of storage for your boat if it doesn't fit in your yard, or your CC&Rs don't allow for you to park your boat trailer in the yard or on the side of your house, you need to account for what's it going to cost me to park this thing all the time, whether it's on the water or off. Think that through. The insurance expenses, the maintenance costs. You don't want to get in over your head, because what you're going to do is you're going to buy a really fancy, nice boat up front and go, yeah, we had $200,000 to spend. We spent every dime of it, and look at that baby. It's sitting out there, and it's sparkling. And fast forward to a year or 2 years down the road, all your friends that were calling you to get a ride on the thing won't be seen dead on it because it looks like garbage. And they've helped wreck it and, you know, spill pop and every other thing all over it. But they aren't the ones that have to take care of it. And you, because you maxed out your budget, maybe you don't have the income or the money saved up or whatever it is in order to maintain it the way it needs to be waxed, washed regularly, you know, whatever it is. And I know the mindset. I know how easy it is to get sucked in and go, oh, it's just another $10,000 on $100,000. That's not a whole heck of a lot, but it really, $10,000 can be very well spent towards your maintenance budget. So you want to be real careful with that before you just go out and go haywire. I think people, with the economy that we've just gone through, I think people have kind of gotten reset in the way that they think, and that they're not going out and maxing out everything that they have in order to get the nicest thing out there. I think a lot of people have been brought back down and now understand kind of, hey, we need to start at this level and let's talk about this. And that's, again, I say that primarily if you're financing, because generally speaking, the cash folks aren't going to get themselves into that trap as easily. They're going to say, this is really what we can budget for. And they have a way to bail themselves out. Whereas if you're already overextended, nothing else anybody can do. You're just kind of stuck, right? You can't get the money any other way. So make sure that you don't go out there and just go hog wild when the bank calls and says, hey, we got you approved for this huge loan. Make sure that you got a little bit of backup and a good backup plan there so that you don't get yourself painted into that corner, because guys like me and guys like Roy Dunbar, we don't like to see your boat come in after it's completely destroyed and be handed what's left of it and say, here, can you put this back together and what's it going to cost me? I have seen so many boats come in like that where they're just trashed. And it isn't because it's people being rough on them, it's negligence. And when you get into those negligent situations, it's easy to get a snowball effect going on, and all of a sudden it's way beyond your control and the budget goes crazy. What I could have done as a maintenance item for $10,000 becomes $100,000, because now it's not a maintenance item, it's a rebuild. I'll give you a quick story of that. I worked on a boat, and actually there's a posting, an old posting on my blog about it at seattleyachtmanagement.com if you want to take a look at it. It was a complete flybridge deck rebuild, because previous people had come in and just bolted hardware to the deck and hadn't bedded it properly, had never rebedded the existing hardware. And so what had happened is all this water had seeped in through all the hardware holes, all the screw holes, and had just saturated the entire flybridge deck. I really got to say something about, you know, a pretty thin piece of fiberglass held a lot of weight up, but it was getting to the point where you could actually step on it with your foot and watch the whole deck that supported a large tender flex underneath your foot. And so, it was a rather large boat, but had somebody come in and maintained and put hardware in properly and rebedded hardware, you're talking about a few thousand dollars over the course of years, as opposed to the $25,000+ that we had to spend in order to rebuild the entire deck. Now that's an example, and it's probably middle of the road compared to what can be done out there. and you don't want it. And that's a great example of why fiberglass in some situations isn't any better. It's because people think that, hey, it's fiberglass, can't rot. Well, once that water gets inside and gets to whatever that coring is, whatever's inside of it, it's going to soak up in there and it's just going to completely deteriorate everything you got. So, you know, make sure that you're doing the maintenance all the way through as opposed to just waiting and doing large lumps all at once. That surging, I can almost guarantee it's going to cost you double every time you go to have something done, because if you wait to bring a boat in to have it waxed, that boat is just going to suck that wax up, and it's going to, I'm going to have to do it three times instead of doing it just one time every 6 months. I'm going to have to do it three times the first time, two times the second time, and we're really going to have to layer it on and get a good coating built up, as opposed to once every 6 months I show up and hear, you know, what the price is going to be, and away we go. You can't do that once you get into that rubber banding type situation. So anyways, we're just about out of time. I do have to say real quick, I've got to give a happy first birthday to Avery today. She's going to be celebrating later this afternoon, and really excited for her. So hopefully someday she looks back on this as a boat lover and says, hey, I knew that guy. So anyways, I hope that's been informative. I'll be pre-recorded next week. We're going to be down working for some other clients in the warmer weather after this cold snap. So I won't be around, but I will be back, and I'll be back with a vengeance for the Boat Show. So join me next week here on Boat Talk, 1180 AM, Clay Radio. Have a safe boating week.